I'd like to look at a few verses from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. Just a handful of verses. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Thessalonians 2 and verse 17. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavoured more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. But Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Amen. So just a handful of words from the Apostle Paul to a group of Christians at Thessalonica. And evidently he wants to meet up with them. He wants to spend time in their company. There is a real affection between Paul and these people. Perhaps I speak on behalf of some of you, but I like spending time with my family. I don't spend as much time with them, perhaps extended family, as I ought to and I'd like to. But there's something perhaps even more precious about spending time with my spiritual family. And I come to church several times a week, as you do, not out of any, you know, fear of being punished for not doing so, not because the preacher is typically especially interesting. Of course, I want to hear God's word preached, but I come here because I want to be with the people of God. I could listen to better sermons on YouTube, but I don't want to be sitting in my home staring into a screen. And I want to see your face with great desire, as Paul tells these people. So they've been parted. They've not been parted in heart, although they can't physically see each other. Paul is writing to them. There is a real bond between them. There is a bond between believers. And he's eagerly wanting to see their face again with great desire. So first of all, Paul desires fellowship. Isn't fellowship a sweet thing?
Amen.
Now, some of you have been Christians long enough to know that churches are not always easy, and they are made up of people not yet entirely sanctified. Some are more sanctified than others. Of course, we are generally right when there are fallouts in churches. It's the other people who get it wrong. And yet at the same time, it's a wonderful gift for fellowship. I was explaining to somebody quite recently that going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You know that already. And you could actually be a Christian just staying at home every night and doing your own thing, arguably. And yet there's a wonderful privilege about being with like-minded people. There's a wonderful privilege about sharing an hour on a dark Wednesday night with people who love the Lord. So Paul desires fellowship. And yet he says in verse 18, but Satan hindered us. Well, what's it got to do with him? mind your own business. Do whatever you're meant to be doing. Evidently, Satan has a desire and an interest in preventing fellowship. Why would Satan want to hinder Paul in meeting up with the Thessalonians? You might think he has better things to do. Evidently, Satan hates fellowship, Christian fellowship, as much as Paul loves it. Satan hindered us. How that has happened, I'm not sure. We're not really given any details here. But I would suggest that Satan does not want God's people to meet together. Satan does not want God's people to share time together. Notice, though, that it's a hindering that he does. Satan is on a lead. It's a longer lead than I would prefer, but he is on a lead. Again, look at what he does with Job. He cannot really act beyond the parameters of God's will. He must seek permission for the things that he does. And of course, as I've said previously, our sovereign God is able to use his machinations for God's own glory and even our good. Nevertheless, he does supply thorns in the flesh, of which Paul speaks elsewhere. And here there is a hindering from Satan. And although fellowship is sweet, we also ought to remember that there is a spiritual war taking place of which we are affected and we do play a part. Mm-hmm. Paul doesn't dwell on this fact. He almost mentions Satan in passing. But evidently there is some spiritual war taking place which would prevent Paul from visiting the Thessalonians. And of course we might say, well, why didn't God simply overrule? Well, I'll tell you one reason why God may not have overruled Satan on this occasion, because we probably wouldn't have got this letter. You know, if Paul had gone to manage to see these people, he wouldn't have wasted ink and parchment. But we are actually the beneficiaries of what Satan tried to achieve. Satan, I would propose, has been squarely outwitted. He says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Mm-hmm. Now, we might expect him to say that Jesus himself is our hope. He is our joy, or he is the crown or the source or the reason of our rejoicing, which of course he is. And yet Paul says, actually, it's the Thessalonians who are that in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. I think he's saying there, I might not be able to meet you now, but one day we'll meet around the throne. Isn't that a wonderful prospect, that those people who have gone before, we'll see them again in the throne room. And the great men and women who've gone before, and dare I say, the great men and women who are still to come, unless the Lord tarries, we will meet them in his coming. But Paul says, for you are our glory and joy. Well, of course, a Christian is one in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. And we were singing before, fill us anew, fill, you know. We need more of the Spirit. We want more of his operation in our life. And yet the wonderful, sweet thing about fellowship is that we are meeting people who love the Lord Jesus and whose spirit dwells within them. There is an affinity between two believers. We may have a different racial background. We may speak a different language. We may have different political ideas. But if they love the Lord Jesus and they've been born again, we be brethren. Paul is saying, part of my love for the Lord is expressed in my love for you. Part of my joy in the Lord is expressed in the joy I have for you. I can't come and see you. I can't come and preach at your meetings, but I hear your faith is going well. You're an encouragement to me, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord when he comes. I'm also looking forward to seeing you. And there's the fellowship he so wants in verse 17, he might not get it this side of the grave, but he will get it after. I'm sure I could make a joke about you sometimes go to some churches and it feels like you've died. I'm not going to make that joke, it would be disrespectful. But actually, coming to church is a foretaste of heaven. Church is an amazing, huge, giant church service. But we won't be closing our eyes to pray. We'll be looking at him. There'll be no distractions. There'll be nothing bad about church, which we might have now. All the good stuff will be there. And Paul is really looking forward to having fellowship with them, if not now, then when Jesus comes again. Now, of course, Jesus did not come again in Paul's lifetime. He may well come in our lifetime. So just a few simple thoughts there that I will leave you with.